We'll deal with a couple of questions that we just got, and I guess we're going to get some more questions soon, and we'll try to deal with this. This first question is a very long one, so I'll try to make it a bit short. Someone writes that he recently had an audit, and he had a very difficult time with proving his charity, his tzedakah. And is there a simple way of dealing with such things? It's interesting because there's an organization called OJC. I think is that the name?
It's right here in Williamsburg.
It's right here in Williamsburg, which does a very, very good job. If you give them money, they give you like vouchers, and you can use that for tzedakah, and you don't need any additional documentation. It's a very, very good system. I use it personally. I recommend it to lots of people.
What they do is they set up a fund. They set up separate funds for each donor. You give them a certain amount of money, and you tell them where you want that money to go. You give vouchers to different tzedakahs. The tzedakah sends in the voucher, and they send the money to the tzedakah. You get one receipt from OJC for the year, and you're done.
Correct.
Wir salat kashe zal es arushra magaitarim gein en es nemmen met es erovbrengen.
Someone has they're in business for 4 years. Does it pay to take a secretary for customer service? The Emes says when someone runs a business, if he does everything himself, he'll never get anywhere. There's no question that customer service today is probably one of the most important things that exist. For the last bunch of years, when the internet became as popular as it became, the whole thing was price. People looked around. This company gave the lowest price, and that's where everyone went to buy. Things are changing drastically in that area. People are realizing that there are a lot of companies that are listing things, for example, on the internet, and they're cheaper than another company, but when you order it for them, it's always on back order. Or if you have a question about the item, you should do mit wem zu reden. So people are becoming much more sophisticated. They're looking to deal with companies that have reasonable prices. They're willing to pay a bit more, but they want service. They want to deal with a company that, number one, has what they claim to have in stock, and number two, they can provide customer service. So customer service involves a lot of things. It involves knowing the product, and it also involves telling people simple things like, where is this item? When is it coming? Who could I talk to about this item? So a customer service person in a business, obviously, when you open a business, you can't always do that. But I realized when I opened an accounting firm, I think I was an accountant, 6 months, and I realized that if I don't have a secretary, all I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be slaving and getting no place. And I right away hired a secretary. I could not afford it, but I felt it was a very worthwhile expense, because if you have someone that takes care of clerical things, then you're able to use your head to work on the business. And so it's really a very, very, very simple decision, even when you don't see where you can afford it, because you really can't grow a business unless you have help, and secretarial help is extremely expensive. While we get some more questions, I just want to make some comments on some of the things that were discussed by Heshi and the prior speakers. Saving money for whatever, for business, saving money on a personal level, there are people who either are beyond saving. They can't save because there's no way they can make their budget, like the speaker before said. They're so in the red that it's impossible for them to go on. And for them, we're not talking about those. But there are a lot of people who are just breaking even. And what a person has to do, a lot of things that we do is psychological. We don't even realize it. For example, a healthy person can walk 10 miles without a problem. It's in the mind. The mind says, "Chkenish." But the body can easily handle it. And the best that I is, when a person has no choice, he can easily walk 10 miles. It's the same thing with a lot of things. Savings is one of those items. If a person decides that, you know, with his matziv, that he can have another expense, let's say, of $100 a week or $100 a month, he retzachan that this savings that he's putting in is another expense. And after a while, he feels like, you know, he's paying his expenses and he's putting money away. The first job I had is I worked for the state. When I started working in this field of accounting, to get a job in an accounting firm for a firm person was impossible. Shabbos again a problem, Ayamik again a problem, Als again a problem. So I went to work for the government. And the country was more patriotic than it is now, so they asked me if I want to take off money for savings bonds, for U.S. government savings bonds. If I take savings bonds, it'll become an expense. It's another expense, another deduction from the paycheck. I bought a house from those savings bonds. And I didn't even realize what was happening. I worked for 6-7 years, and I had a down payment for a house. And so very often, we have to almost steal from ourselves and convince ourselves in the mind that this is an expense. And it is unbelievable what can be accumulated. In the area of budgeting, I just want to add my 2 cents. When someone does a budget, when he starts with a budget, there's one very confusing thing that people do that makes it very hard for them to budget. They mix in old chayvus with the budget that they're trying to do for the next period of time. When you start a budget, especially when you're somewhat in trouble, okay, you have chayvus, the first thing you do is you put everything aside that's old and you concentrate strictly on going forward. And then you allocate a small amount of money, whatever a person can afford, to deal with the prior chayvus. Very often I see, when I help people with this area, they have in their expenses various payments they have to make for old things. So if you make a budget for the future and then you make a separate line item for old things, it's much, much easier to make a budget and get yourself organized. I was listening to this and I remember when I got married, the first 6 months, I guess I'm an accountant in the neshama, I right away made a budget. I really didn't need much of a budget. It was a lot cheaper to live in those days, and I had a good job. But I right away made a budget because there's nothing like a cheshbon. Un cheshbon is alles geht in der Erde. I've seen many rich people go down the drain. I once did a personal financial statement for a person, and he was worth $35 million. 3 years later, I helped them fill out an application for welfare. And this happens, not to this extreme, but it happens time and time again for people who live on a cheshbon. The same way as we can't live on a cheshbon when it comes to rachnias, you can't live on a cheshbon when it comes to gashmias. It is unbelievable how much money people can go through in America. There isn't, they come up, there's countries, for instance, someone lives in Belgium. It's a very dead country. There's very quiet and things don't, there's nothing going on there. A person can't even spend money the way he could spend here. Here you could spend limitless amounts of money. All you have to do is just be a little hefty about it, and it doesn't make a difference what you earn. We see people who earn hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. They never have a dime to their names. And then we see people who barely make it, and they have money for savings. Psychological. Amaretzachanapus geschentes. In Amaretzach nisham, blat man ungurnisch. Kind chassan zemach nakin, we kicked off alle zaken, you don't know where to go. Now, if they did a little thinking, I'm just... saying, amplifying what was said before. It's just unbelievable. Heshi mentioned an example with a bakery. That you know, you have to work on the business. You can't work in the business. I want to bring out another nekida. When I was a child, there was a bakery on every couple of blocks. There was a bakery. I remember here in Williamsburg. I don't remember how many bakeries, but there were lots of bakeries in the 60s. I remember in Borough Park there was lots of bakeries. And who went into the bakery business? Someone who knew how to bake. And Etelchon nam gezoekt, as bach diet a cake. They took nefshelach machen tak a bakery, and they made a bakery. Now, a bakery had a very high markup. Okay? So, if the person didn't know how to run a business, he lost half the markup. He still made a nice living. Today, there's no place for that. Today, the markups are very thin. If a person doesn't pay attention, like Heshi said, doesn't know how to read numbers, doesn't keep cheshbon, okay? There are those who will not reden for the world as a mitzayel geld and ish du kan atzlocha. So do a platz for them. But so do nish sitim vim afiyat a business. Am afiyat a business im a weiss ish kan cheshbim vim it's gait is in the red. Siz kamat klur azoi. And especially because today the markups are not what they used to be. There used to be very serious markups in almost every business. Today, there's almost no business that has a really serious markup. So you have to know what you're doing. Okay? We are also very guilty when we deal with a business that has inventory. Das chagite zach. Ach kauf noch a bissel davon. Das chagite zach. Chalas avegen, billiger. Inventory is gold, and inventory bringt him, I can't begin to believe how many businesses. If someone has what he considers a really good item in stock, okay, and he has 100 of them, and he hasn't sold more than 2 in the last year, whom is he fooling? Only himself. It's obviously not a good item. So a person needs to know what he has in inventory, what moves, what doesn't move, and what doesn't move, to convert it to cash, to sell it, whatever it takes to get rid of it, because he's ruining himself. Inventory is gold, and has brought him business after business. It is not to be believed how many businesses I've seen go under from inventory.
I have a question here. Somebody would like to open a business. He wants to know if he should take a loan or a partner. Every situation is unique. I can't tell you that it's always good to take a loan or it's always good to take a partner. But you have to evaluate. Obviously, how much interest is the loan? What kind of interest do they want to charge you? Is it a reasonable rate? Or is it a rate that's going to break you? Can you not make that? Can you not have a markup that makes that kind of money? Partners. Take a partner if the partner is compatible. Is the partner going to be working in the business, or is the partner a silent investor? If he's a silent investor and he wants a daya and he's going to tell you how to run your business, you may be better off without that partner. If he's a partner with skills that you can use that can help the business to grow and the capital to invest that you don't have, then you're better off with the partner than the loan. Every situation is different, every situation is unique, and has to be evaluated based on the specific circumstances of that situation.
I want to add something to that. I'm a big chassid of partnerships. Maybe not for this exact reason. Sometimes a loan is fine too. But I'm in general a big chassid of partnerships. And I know it's not such a popular subject in our community. Because when a partnership, when there's tzuris between shittvim, like when there's a divorce of halagayim gezut, yeah, from dem weiß jeder. Man hat gezacharim, man macht koilis in de gas, man weiß. Their shitfas that work well, nobody talks about. Okay? Most shitfas work well. Most shitfas are not a problem. It's those shitfas that don't work well is what causes all the trouble. Now, if a person has a shitf is pinked as of a yiddish haerat. The guy in Vilna in Tzaharaten, that a man and a woman can do all the same things. We know that that's not true. We know this all the days. A man has different strength and a woman has different strength. All a man or a woman needs is to have some respect for the other one and understand and realize that this is my strength, this is his strength. In a partnership is the exact same thing. If two partners have just a bit of respect for each other, and they have different strengths, like Heshi talked about before, then there's nothing like a partnership. Überhaupt bei uns. Because every human being needs some time. Jetzt macht er Simcha in der Mishpucha. Now he wants to go for vacation. He wants to sit and learn a little bit more. If you have a partner, then you have a whole different life. So it's really just a question of having a partner that makes sense. And having a partner that makes sense means, for instance, I often see like two sales types. You know, there are people that are sales oriented. Mekenshan Zemizan Anach in the yeshiva, when they're 6 years older, 6 years old, they're already selling things in the yeshiva. Do you see these type of children? And they have in them the sales. If two salesmen get together and they go into business, Hashem Yerachem. Okay, that usually is an absolute disaster. Okay? But if you have a person who sells and a person who's an inside person and they have a little respect for each other's strengths, then they can go to the end of the world. We had a client for many years who sold out to a big corporation for lots of money. The shitfus was Achsidische Ingemann Stramel Bekicha, an ehrlicher Mensch, and his shitav gegangen, ich weiß, ich weiß, was das ist, du nimmst mich in Akipa Sriga. Also, es ist ruhig, Yamik, also, how would you call that?
Nidid Yamik.
Weiß, schau. In dieser Gang ist shit, von dem gab es sehr viel Scheiches im täglichen Leben, außer der Business, so wie ich mit der Lewona. Der Mischpuch ist einem gewesen, sei er chassidische Kinder, der andere hat gehabt, Kinder, was er ausgekickt, so wie er. The modern one, gained the sales person, and he was always on the street in the chassidische, he gained the business. Finne vedrasig yurom, ze gefiert the business. Ich habe sie gekannt, finne vedrasig, finne vedzwanzig. Kein uns in Schgat kam ach leukes. So am Schgat kein Scheiches. So ne gehen, als ich wart einer von zweiten, in außer the business. But wie bald sam respektiert einer dem zweiten, sam beide verstanden, als der andere hat keuches und sich auch nicht, in am sie sich gekannt, sehr gut ausarbeiten. In sam sehr stark mit Zlich gewinnen von dem. In ich sehe das, I see these kind of things almost every day. People who have a little respect and have different keuches, make very good partners. I'm a big chosid of partnerships. I have three partners myself, and I hope to have many more. I don't see anything wrong with partners.
And partners have to trust each other. Most important. These partners that he's mentioning have 100% nemunas with each other. They would trust each other with millions of dollars to hold for them without a question on a handshake. Because they've done business for 35 years, they know each other well, they trust each other. Get a partner you can trust. It changes your whole life. Because if you don't have a partner and the whole business is on your head, and you want to go to Eretz Yisrael, you want to make a chasna, as Abe said, anything that you need to do that's outside the business, you have no menuchas hanefesh. The entire business is of dana kup, day and night. But if you have somebody to share it with, and somebody to take part of the oil, it's a whole different life.
It was touched upon before as far as agreements. I want to talk a bit more about agreements. Lahalucha tumen ishgein kevitz na halvua b'loy ksav. Your ayvel lifnayivel leisit amichshol. Since tzim gleibim, how many people give other people loans without any ksav? How many people go into business without any agreements? It's my chaver chagelent mitem the yeshiva aliyun. It's almost like an insult. Okay? The machlaikas that come from this is just unbelievable. In a similar situation, I do business arbitration. So very often, every 2 months I'm doing an arbitration that has to do with a tzavur. Okay? So of the gas retman, if it's written the way it's supposed to be, there's no problems. Most children don't have any issues. But when we schrap that zvur, see, du bein zidin, three types of people who write these funny zvurs. Kein kolli du a zana wo schrap nisch kan zvur. Zayan leib mad at kiyuva shila. Schrap nisch. Nochtim edu a zana wo schraben zvurs beremise. Ze meinen, ze zugen jetzt etwa teure, fratig zu nach beim Tisch. Die Kinder müssen schon wissen, wo es zu tun. Ja, sie wissen, dass er geht, wo es zu tun. Sie wissen doch, wie sie ihm zu hargen. Wenn man schreibt, so eine Sachen. Then there are people who write some agreements in Baruv, in Lushen Zvor. Then they do a will and a trust. In so eine Tarte des Asse. Das bringt nach Leukes. In derselbe ist im Business. Am Schrab zwischen sich. My all-time favorite is when zwei Schittfem setzen sich herup, is a schraben zwischen sich an agreement. Ah, von dem is Yontev. Von dem allein kann ich machen leben. This is unbelievable. People who don't know how to write an agreement have no right to write an agreement. See, unfortunately, there is a rabbonim who really don't have experience in writing agreements, but they don't know how to write an agreement. Don't go to a Rav and ask him to write an agreement. So do Rabbonim kennen die Schub zugen und soll schreiben an agreement. An agreement darf werden geschrieben, aber wer es versteht, wie sie schreiben an agreement. Wer es versteht, wie sie schreiben an agreement, du nicht schreiben kann agreement. In a Raum zu gehen, in business ohne agreement, is a Peshaya Gomer. He's begging for something to go wrong. Es sind nicht nur zwei Menschen in der Welt, die trachten dasselbe. Jeder einer hat einen anderen Weg zu trachten, und man kann sich ganz gering zu kriegen. Er hat ein Agreement, ein ehrlicher Mensch, der mannt sich. Ich habe alles lieb zu sagen, ein Mensch geht auf den Gas, er geht durch ein Jewelry Store. Und er sieht, in der Window ist er ausgestellt, scheine Zeigers mit allen Minen. Und er tracht nicht, er kickt auf die Sache, er streckt sich aus der Hand, und mit dem Mal klappt er das Fenster. His hand knocks the window. Oder mannt er sich, auf der Saat im Mann, auf jener Saat belangt sie als Zweiten. Same thing agreements. Sometimes people think they made this and this agreement. But when they look at their agreement, they see that's not what they agreed to. They agreed to something else. Since most of our people sind ein ehrlicher Menschen, ich bin nicht makabel von denen, wo sie sagen, als Mama das acht Menschen sind nicht ehrlich. Ich halte als mehr, in sind wir der ehrlichste Menschen, die existieren auf der Welt. Ich habe schon mit genügend Menschen gehandelt, insofern mit den ehrlichsten Menschen. So, amam er ein gehörige Agreement, bederig klar, sagt jener, ja, ich habe das anders gemeint, ich habe gemeint, ich habe es anders hintergeschrieben. Also, ich habe hintergeschrieben, ist es also egal. Von wie kommen wir nach Leukes? Bin Zidu der Musen. Das habe ich gemeint, Jens habe ich gemeint, alles noch nicht Lamasse. Darf man schreiben, se du Rabbonim Lomoschel, wo schreiben sehr gute Agreements, se du Lawyers, wo schreiben gute Agreements, sei er wichtig zu schreiben ein Agreement.
I have a question here, somebody asked how he should take out money from the business. Should he take it out as wages? And what should he do when he has extra money? How to take out money from the business really depends on the type of entity the business is. If it's a sole proprietorship, or a partnership, or an LLC, there's no such thing as wages to the owner. He can take out what's called a guaranteed payment or a weekly draw. That's no problem. That's the best way. Budget yourself. This is what the business can afford. This is what I'm going to take out to live on. At the end of the year, you take a look how much profit there is, this extra money. The business isn't going to need this money next year. Take out additional money, whether as a bonus for wages, whether it's a dividend distribution of some sort, that you really have to talk to an accountant to make sure that you take it out in the best way for tax purposes. But other than that, make sure the money is there, and on a regular basis, take out a weekly amount or monthly amount, however you pay employees, pay yourself the same way, a set amount, wages, distribution, doesn't matter, but take out what the business can afford, not more.
On this subject, there are people who all their business lives are busy with taxes. Instead of being busy growing the business, their whole mind is only on taxes. I'm not saying that a person should say pay more taxes than he has to. There's no such thing. There's no reason to pay more taxes. If a person can figure out how to save on taxes, if he can hire a good accountant that can help him save on taxes, definitely should do it. But there are people that are so busy just with the taxes, they forget about the business. We've had a number of times two people mamish in the same business. And one of them is busy with taxes. Every move, everything is taxes. And the other one was busy growing the business, and he's obviously paying attention to the taxes. The ones who are busy growing the business typically grow much, much bigger. Much bigger than the one who's constantly busy with taxes. And it's amazing how many people, all they talk about, all they think about is taxes.
Or similar types of items. A person drays with all the narishkeiten and doesn't run the business. Then the business fails and he wants to know why. Because you were too busy with the narishkeiten, you didn't pay attention to the business. We see it time and again. Another question is, my father offered me a position. Is it a good idea, or should I be dafka and not take it? It's a loaded question. How well do you get along with your father? Can you sit with your father all day in an office and work and not get into fights? Typically, it's not a great idea for a person to work with his wife because they get into a disagreement in the business and they take it home with them. If you can get along and you can work and value each other's skills, same thing as a partner, if the father will treat the son as an employee and not expect things from him that he wouldn't expect from other employees, then it's worthwhile to go into business, obviously, with the tata, what's schlecht, to go into business with the tata, to learn the business, to be able to be in a position to continue the business afterwards, it's a wonderful thing. And a son to get along with a father to work in a business, they can be as close as possible. It's terrific if they do it right, if they treat it as business, they don't bring it home with them, and they treat each other with the respect that every employer and employee and every partner has to treat each other with. That's the way to do it. In that case, it's good. Otherwise, if you're going to get into fights, walk away.
Just a couple of more things about that. Same way as I'm a big chassid of partnerships, I am always upset when I see agreements where partners write, "Mekenish haram bringing the kinder in the business." I never understand why that has to be. Eltern sich geplukt, people worked all their lives and their children have to go do other things. Why children can't come into business? There is a good reason why. Because typically when people bring in children to the business, they treat them different than they treat other employees. If this job, this bookkeeping job, they would pay $1,000 a week for someone else, when they bring in their child, they're paying them $1,500 a week. That's where the trouble is. If a person would look at this as a business, if his child needs more money, that's a personal thing, that has nothing to do with the business, there would be nothing ever wrong with a child. I convinced Heshi to bring his son and his son-in-law into the business when I didn't have any children in the business. Oh yes, I had a daughter in the business. I convinced him, he didn't want to bring. I said, I don't know why. We treat them like everybody else. If they need more money, that's your personal business. And Baruch Hashem, it worked out, because everybody knows that if you work by us, you're treated the same. Everyone gets. Once you do that, what is wrong with a child? I can't make peace with this concept. I see it in so many agreements. Some of them, the ones that are a little better, say, "Jede Shittev kann heranbringen ein Kind." Why? Why can't you bring in children? It's just a question of dealing with it business-like. And very few people deal with it business-like. They mix business and personal. Fine, that's your issue. That has nothing to do with the business. The business pays for this job 50. You pay him 50. He needs another 25. So tiltul min atzad. That's your problem, and you deal with that yourself. There's nothing to do with the business.
The next question is there a problem opening a business with a business certificate? There are people who think that they have to have a corporation when they open a business. It really depends, again, on the type of business. There are some businesses where if you run the business without a corporation, you're holding yourself out for trouble. A trucking company, for example, I would never even consider opening without a corporation, because a trucking company is a business that constantly has lawsuits, has liabilities, drivers get into accidents, and there are lawsuits and legal liabilities, and you're asking for trouble and for kahakutzaris if it's not in a corporation. But a small business where somebody is selling something from the basement or something's providing some kind of a personal service, there's nothing wrong with opening it in a business certificate. As the business grows, it may make more sense to turn it into a corporation or to an LLC. But when it's small, there's nothing wrong with opening with a business certificate and starting out. It's the cheapest way to go. It's the most affordable. It's the most flexible. And you can always change it later on. But you have to know what you're doing again. Get professional advice from somebody who understands entities and understands what the differences are, the advantages and disadvantages of each one.
To add something to that, this is what's called in English a very, very litigious society, which means everyone is suing everybody all the time. There isn't a country in the world that has as many lawsuits as the United States. So there are certain industries, like Heshi mentioned, trucking. For instance, I believe that no one should go into a food business that's not in a corporation or in an LLC, because there are so many lawsuits, you would not believe how many people sue caterers in a hall because they slipped on the floor or this or that. It is not believable. If we could get together all the caterers and ask them how many times they've been sued, I don't think anybody here would believe it. This is the society we live in. This is a country where there's more lawsuits going on here than probably a whole bunch of other countries combined. And so you have to be very careful. There's a lot of things that you do that can cause, that's very easy to sue on. And food is one of the items that are a terrible situation. The person says the item was spoiled. There was even someone who had the chutzpah to sue McDonald's because he got burned from the coffee. I mean, as a vinchelem. I mean, coffee, if it's not hot, yeah, there are people who like iced coffee, but in the middle of the winter, when someone drinks coffee, he wants, the hotter it is, the better it is, right? So this person sued, and it went on for who knows how long. He happened to have lost. But that just goes to show what the chitzpah is in America. So a person would sue a store that sold him. So now if you notice on the top of the coffee thing, it says, be careful, it's hot. Okay? They have the Anderson Windows has the screens. On the screen it says, I don't remember the exact lotion, but it says, be careful, this can't hold someone from falling out. That a screen can't hold someone. So if it doesn't say, you can turn around and sue them that a child fell out because the screen didn't hold them. That's what we're dealing with. So you have to be very careful. Anything you go into, you're in an internet business and you're selling an item that came from China, which is very, very common. Okay, and there's something with this item. They painted it, and a child ate the enamel. Okay, the paint. Okay, yeah, suits like this literally all the time. So you got to be very careful. So when you go into business, I heard what Heshi said, but I think it's getting to the point where to do anything in your personal name is really not a good idea. And the other thing is, I heard from someone, he said, it's Nagaya this week, he said, Nish ala nachshem ben aminudav skimanarov. So do as an anachshem ben uzuz blab minten. There's a lot of businesses, that fail, unfortunately. There's Baruch Hashem, a lot of businesses that succeed. There's also a lot of businesses that fail. If you look in the Pasha, Dr. Misretfin, when Yankov had getroffen mit Eisef, So it says, one of the ideas, one of the ways out is Melchoma. Rashi is Masber Melchoma means, Im Yuva Vehikani, Voya Machna Nisha Leplai Tu. That's an interesting type of Melchoma, but that's our type of Melchoma. It's the same thing when you go into business. If someone goes into business and the business goes broke, why does that mean that everything else he owns has to fall into the same pot? If he has a corporation, if he has an LLC, and he goes broke, then at least the other things he has don't get damaged because he has liability protection. And so today, it's a rarity that I would be comfortable with someone being not a corporation. I think we're at the stage where everything should have a corporation or an LLC.
If someone knows how to multitask, can he run many small businesses or should he look for one job or one business? There used to be something called the jack of all trades, that somebody who did many, many different things. Usually it meant that he did many, many different things and he didn't do any of them well. I think a person should stick to what he knows well, and do what he knows best, and concentrate on it, because that's usually where the hatzlocha is. Trying to do too many things means you can't concentrate on any one of them.
So let me take that from a bit of different angle. Why is it that you see there are some people that they run one business, it works, and they go into a couple of things, and everything collapses? And why are there some people who leisurely could sit back and run a couple of businesses without any problem? The answer is very simple. The answer lies in management. There are people who run a business, and everyone that works in the business reports to them. Every person has to report to them. I once did some consulting work for a company that had hundreds of people reporting to one person. He was involved in everything. Desk was piled high with papers and everything he was involved in. I couldn't figure out how he doesn't get a stroke. He was busy like a bee. If you build up people that help you run the business on a high level, then you could run as many businesses as you want. But if you don't have a professional staff on top, if you don't realize and recognize that keiner ken gunish cinnamon, and if you want to run a business well, and if you want to expand, you have to bring people up to a level where they can really help you, not just be your shlach shamas, then you could run any number of businesses. About 35 years ago, I met a young person. He was in his mid-30s, and he had, he was a Sfardische, and he ran these stores. They like to run these stores that sell everything. What do you call these type of stores? Everything in this. They had big stores, and they have a lot of 99-cent stores, and more than 99-cent stores. And he had four stores in four different states. So I was still quite naive. I look at him and I say, I don't understand. How is it that you could sit here, you seem very patient, and you have four retail stores in four states? How do you control this? How do you know what's going on? How do you know that they're not stealing you blind? I mean, it's a retail store. So he told me, these computers were very schwach at that point in time. I bought a computer in 1978. It cost $35,000, and it had less power in it than a smartphone. $35,000. So the computers were not yet. So he said, every year, every 6 months, they close the store, it'll go to sleep. Every business that if the balbuz disappears, the business can't operate, is not a business. That has no shaykhis with business, because a business is supposed to be able to run if the balbuz isn't there either. Could it run better? Of course it could run better. The one who has the most heart that makes the business run better. If you walk by a building and you see someone other than the super picking up papers from the floor, it's usually the one who owns the building. You know, people who own things, they put more heart into what they do. But if you have good people, you could run anything under the sun.
Let me be myself one nakuda, just to explain it in a little bit more detail. Having good management and having good people means you trust them to make decisions. It doesn't just mean you let them sit and work. It means you trust them to make decisions, you put limits, you give them guidelines, but you trust them to make decisions, because if not, if every decision has to come to the boss, nothing gets done.
And to add to that, when there is such a word in English called delegation, that you give someone else to do something that you may have done before. There is such a word called dumping. When you don't want to do something and you want to give it, you just give it to someone to do. The difference is, and the chachma is, you always give someone something that needs to be done without explaining to him exactly how to do it. And listen to what he comes up with. But you got to give it to a person that has a chance of being able to take care of this. If you give something to a person that doesn't have a chance, he's too raw, okay? Then that's called dumping. Then nobody has anything from it, and then there's going to be nothing but Admas Nefesh. But if you give someone something to someone that Lamasa, you believe, has the talent to take care of this, and you don't tell him how to do it exactly, you tell him what the end result should be, you will not believe the kind of things people come up with. I cannot believe, after 25 years and 30 years, how many times a 25-year-old came up with an idea that I never thought about, and I'm doing this thing for who knows how many years, and his idea is far better than mine. Why? Because I didn't tell him, do it like this, do it like that, do it like this, do it like this. There's people that think when they give something over to someone, they have to like give them like a whole shtar of exactly how this item needs to be done. That's not how you give something over. You challenge the person. Every person can handle a challenge. If you challenge them, you usually get good results. In the Welt Zucht, if you give something over to someone, you can't expect 100% like you. 80% is fine. Because if you expect 100%, if you're a perfectionist, that everything has to be, and everybody has to perform perfectionist, nothing ever happens. 80% is pretty good. So that is the chachma of growing a business. That's the chachma of running more than one business. If someone goes in such a direction, he clearly has a much better chance for Hatzlocha.
Rabbi Sashon Shpet, Yeshikoyach for your attention.